This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is Frieda Liu. You're listening to Raise Your Game. I'm here with Shirley Taylor, who's here for TEDx Bangsa. She had a talk called Don't Be a Robot, Make a Human Difference, right? What I'm going to start off is I'm going to be lazy. I'm going to get Shirley to explain to me who she is, the website version, because there's another version of this. But let's go with the website version first.
Thanks, Frieda. It's great to be here. And the website version. So that would be, I am a trainer. I live in Singapore. I'm a trainer and a speaker on communication skills, business writing skills. And I also do keynote speeches in how to rock your role in this high-tech world. So my focus has been for many years on business writing skills and communication.
Right. Okay. So you did your talk at TEDx Bangsa. What did you cover? I mean, the topic itself, the headline itself seems interesting, but what was the gist of this talk?
The thing is, Frieda, over the last few decades, we have been through so much disruption. The world has changed so much, you know. I mean, I'm just looking at your beautiful dress. Fashion's changed, right? Hairstyles change. Everything changes. But there is one key thing in everyone's lives that everybody is doing every single day where there's not been enough change over the decades. And you know what it is? It's when you put your fingers on the keyboard to write an email.
Okay.
Yeah.
Think about it, right? And I know you've got a book currently at the moment. Currently, the most recent book, you've written 12.
Yeah.
This is Email Essentials, right?
Yeah.
So I guess it relates to that book. What are some of the things that, you know, we're still archaic in our email etiquette?
I'll tell you what's happening. A lot of people today are writing passive voice. They're writing things like, the investigation has been concluded by our client. And in that sentence, you can see that the client is at the end of the sentence. If we're going to use active voice, you've got to put the person first. Our client concluded the investigation. The sentence is shorter and it's active. Now, why are people still doing this? It's because in the past, let's go back 5 or 6 decades, our ancestors wanted to keep people at a distance in meetings, in communication. They would be very formal and they would keep people at a distance and they would build relationships slowly. Why? Because they'd got loads of time in those days.
Okay.
So passive voice was appropriate. Today, it's not appropriate anymore. Today, we need to build relationships quickly. You know how important it is to connect with people quickly. We need to use active voice, using verbs and putting people in the picture. And what active voice does, it shows some accountability and connection and responsibility. So we need to use active voice today.
So you do a lot of writing around business communication.
I do a lot of training for a lot of organizations, not just in Singapore, but around Southeast Asia, on writing skills, because so many organizations know this is a weak area.
So, and of course, if you look at within Southeast Asia, we've got various levels of the various levels proficiency in the English language, right?
Yeah.
So how do you handle that?
You know what? The key to writing today is not to write like a robot, not to write like a template, and not to make your writing sound like a template. It's to sound like, make your writing like you're having a conversation with a real life human being, because you are. So many people put, this is what some people say to me in all my workshops. But Shirley, this is how I speak. But I must write in a different style, right? And I say, why? Life should not be so difficult. In our great grandfather's time, they had one voice for speaking and writing. It was the same voice. Today, something strange is happening. We're having a great conversation, just like you and I are here, where we're building a relationship. We've got to get things moving because we've got to get things done. And then suddenly you put your fingers on the keyboard and you start to write long sentences, very panjang lebar, and very old-fashioned words.
Right. As per our discussion.
You got it, baby.
Attached herewith.
Attached herewith. Kindly do not hesitate. Please find attached. All these phrases are suddenly being, you're writing them in your emails and it's like you've turned into a different person. Where is the human touch?
Mm. Okay. How did you get started with your first book, though?
Oh, how did I get started with my first book? I was teaching in Singapore from 1983. It was my very first job overseas. I was teaching in Singapore 83 to 85, and then I came back again 88 to 91. It was in around 91 when my boss asked me to come for lunch with two publishers' reps who were in the reception. And they were from the publishers Pearson. It's the world's largest publisher now, I believe. And when we went for lunch, I found out they wanted to know, what books do you use to make the students buy for each of these courses that we teach? I was able to tell them, we use this book for business studies, we use this book for administration, we use this book, this book, this book. But we don't ask students to buy a book for business English because there is not one book that's suitable. They had also noticed that gap. They'd seen some of the work that I'd done in my college for that the participants had to buy these workbooks that I'd put together. And they said, will you write us a book? I had never dreamed of writing a book. But there's a lovely quote that I like to use from Richard Branson. And he said, if someone asks you to do something and you don't know how to do it, say yes and then figure it out. So I said yes, and then I went home and fainted. Oh, what have I done? And I wrote my very first book in 1992. It was called Communication for Business.
Right.
And that book is now in its fourth edition, and it's used in a lot of colleges around the world to teach business English.
Right.
But that's not my most famous book.
And what is the most famous book?
It was What Happened a Year Later that really sealed my fate. The publishers got in touch with me again and said, Shirley, do you know this book by Gartside, Model Business Letters? Now, I knew this book from being a secretary in England, and I knew it because I used it to teach my students. It was a book that had been published, the first edition, the second edition, the third edition, and it had been translated in different languages around the world. So I told them, yes, of course I know this book. It's the best one there is. And they said, well, bad news, Shirley. Mr. Gartside is dead.
Oh.
We want you to revise his book. So, okay, Richard Branson is in my ear again. And I just knew then that if I don't do it, someone else will.
Right.
And it's a message I tell now to all my participants, and it's perfect for your listeners here on Raise Your Game. If you get an opportunity to do something and you say no, someone else will do it.
Right.
So I said yes. I did the revision, my first revision in 1992. That was the fourth edition. Then we did the fifth edition a few years later, the sixth edition. The seventh edition I did about 7 years ago now. And of course, the title has changed over the years. It's now called Model Business Letters, Emails, and Other Business Documents.
Okay.
So everything changes, right? So the title has changed, the contents have changed, and I have no doubt that when they ask me to do the eighth edition, OMG, I will have a lot of changing to do.
You know, what if people say, you know, they've been tasked to do something, they say, I don't think I have experience, it's out of my league. What do you say when people say that?
This has happened to me over my time as well. I'll never forget when I was with Asia Professional Speakers Singapore as a member, and one of the past presidents said to me, Shirley, you should join our executive committee. You'd make a good president one day. I nearly fell over and fainted because I'd never even dreamed of even joining the executive committee. Shirley from Sheffield, can I do that? But someone had seen something in me. So I say to that person, if someone out there has been offered a chance to do something, to step up and do something, someone may have seen some potential in you. Mm. And if that's the case, don't slap them in the face. Take a look at it. Think about it. Because if you don't do it, Someone else will. And that's what happened to me. I joined the APSS, the Speakers Association Executive Committee, and in 2011, they made me president.
Right. And we've got, I want to get a little deeper into that story. And it's about your upcoming book.
Yes.
We'll discuss about that in just a moment. I'm here with Shirley Taylor. You're listening to Race Again on Enterprise, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good morning. This is Frida Lee. If you've just joined us, of course, Race Your Game. I'm here with Shirley Taylor, who is in Malaysia for TEDx Bangsa. She had an interesting talk. We discussed that a little earlier on. And, you know, this is Shirley Taylor based out of Singapore. You've got an upcoming book. Tell me about this upcoming book. And it's a little bit away from the business communication style.
Absolutely.
Pray tell.
Okay, Frida. Well, yes, it's a very different type of book for me. All the books that I've written have been about communication skills and business writing, email writing. But Marshall Cavendish, the publishers in Singapore, they asked me to write a book about my story because they knew that a year ago now, I'd been president of the Global Speakers Federation. So basically, they said, we want to know what happened to you. You know, you were Shirley from Sheffield. You were super secretary in 1981. You have just been president of the Global Speakers Federation, traveling all around the world speaking. What has your journey been? So I've been spending a lot of time going back to Shirley from Sheffield, super secretary in 1981, and looking at all the key turning points in my life and the lessons that I learned.
Okay.
So that's what connecting the dots is about. It's about the dots. The dots are actually people.
Right.
The key turning points in my life and the lessons that I've learned. So I hope this book will inspire other people like Shirley from Sheffield,
right,
who might think, how am I going to do this? How can I climb the ladder like this? So I want to inspire other people. It's not for leaders who are way at the top of their career. It's for people who are climbing the ladder with some of the key things that I think they need to learn from my key turning points.
Right. Okay, I want to hear Shirley from Sheffield, 1981, super secretary. How did she end up in Singapore?
Oh, how did she end up in Singapore? I'd been a secretary for 9 years and at the end of the 9 years, my boss knew that I was going to resign because I wanted to be a teacher. I knew I wanted to teach. So I went to teacher training college. And at the end of the year in teacher training college, we were looking through the newspaper and I saw this job. Teacher wanted to teach on business and secretarial courses in Singapore. So I said to my friends, where's Singapore?
Okay.
Remember, it's 1983. Yes. There's no Google. So my friend said, I think it's in China. Someone else said, no, it's in Hong Kong. So, of course, I had to go home and look at the map book.
Right.
And I applied for the job. And this is an interesting story if I've got time to share.
Oh, yes.
I was interviewed in London by a lovely lady who spoke like the Queen of England.
Right.
She speaks very, very posh with a very posh accent, which is nothing like I speak from Sheffield, you see. So long story short, she gave me the job and I ended up in Singapore a month or so later. My boss met me at the airport. Her colleague sat beside her in the car and all the way to the house they took me, nobody answered any of my questions or comments.
Okay.
I did not find out until later they did not understand my accent.
Oh.
They didn't understand a word I said. They dropped me at the house. They went home to that and called that lady. Oh, hello, darling. Did Shirley arrive safely? Yes, she's arrived. She'll never work out here. We don't understand a word she says. So nobody told me that story, Frida, until many months later. But one thing I found out very quickly the very next day was every time I spoke to someone when I went into the school, they stared back at me with a very strange expression. So I knew that meant, what is she saying? So I knew that I'd got to make some changes.
Right.
So I was speaking in my Sheffield accent in those days, which is very different. Some of the words very, very different. So I knew that if I was going to survive, I had to make some changes. So I learned to slow down my speech, to speak more, to enunciate better, to pronounce the endings right. of my words better.
It's water, not water.
Yes, exactly, darling, water. And I had to say things like cup instead of cup and duck instead of duck. So I learned the hard way, and this is a great story that I tell as well in, to my participants. You have to learn when you're not getting your message across.
Right.
You've got to watch for the signs when you're not getting your message across, whether it's spoken English or written English.
Right.
And then you've got to do something about it because there's only you can make those changes.
You know, this is so interesting. I still want to find out a little bit more about the turning points. But you know, when you talk about that, the signs and cues, right? And you can't tell pretty much over email because you don't have that visual cue or teleconferences, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes you don't know whether
what will happen in email, Frieda, is you'll find that you are playing email ping pong. You're writing an email and somebody looks at it and thinks, what? And then they write back, they've got to ask questions. They've got to ask questions to clarify what you're saying and to clarify what they have to do. If this is happening to you, that you start playing email ping pong, you know there's something wrong with the way you put your message across in the first place.
And then the next step will be to make a call, perhaps?
Definitely make a call. We are doing too many emails where we could pick up a call. Do you know, by the end of this year, 2019, it's predicted that we will be sending 246 billion emails every day.
Wow.
When was the last time you made a phone call, listeners?
Right. I find that, you know, like, let me just clarify things. Is to make a call and then, you know, to summarize it over an email.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. Because isn't it quicker when we do that?
Yeah.
It works out so much quicker. Otherwise, your email backwards and forwards.
And then we don't understand the tone. We don't understand, you know, what's going on behind the words.
And the problem is this way, Frieda, when we're hiding behind emails, it means that we've got less confidence when it comes to a face-to-face discussion. And I strongly encourage people to take every opportunity to have those face-to-face discussions because we've got to build our confidence in that too.
Mm, okay. And I know, like, you having been out to Asia,
yeah.
Are we, you know, a little bit more less confrontational in that sense? You know, having come from the UK and coming out here, are we a little, as Asians, are we a little
Do
bit?
You know what? I don't want to make that as an excuse, and I don't want Asians to make that as an excuse either, because we're all human beings. Mm. I would love to see more people being more human. Like, you walk in a lift, don't get your phone out. Look around and smile. Do you know how many people would appreciate a smile? Something as simple as that, you know? Walking down a street this morning, just walking down in my hotel here in KL, say good morning. And sometimes people look at you as if to say, ah, and then they turn around, smile and say good morning back.
Right.
Be more human.
One more turning point.
Okay.
Tell me from the book.
One more turning point. I think it was... But I'm going to take you back to the very second one. And that was when I went to college. I was a secretary and the teacher encouraged us to attend a competition, to sign up for a competition, all the students in our class. And she wanted us to do this competition called Super Secretary 1981. Now, if we were at home or in the office, we would never have dreamed of entering that competition. But this teacher pushed us. She said it'll be great practice. She pushed us and encouraged us. Two of us got in the final in Sheffield. I ended up being Super Secretary 1981 in Sheffield. And I would never have done that if the teacher hadn't encouraged me. And I thank her so much for that. As a result, that put me into the Northern final. I ended up being the Northern winner and I was runner-up in the National final. The lesson I learned there was we have to get out of our comfort zones.
Mm.
How many times are we, oh no, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to do what, I'm not going to take this chance, because getting out the comfort zone is very nerve-wracking, isn't it, sometimes?
Mm. Mm.
But you know what? Getting out of the comfort zone, that is where the magic happens.
Right.
So I learned a lesson back in 1981 that I've continued thinking about many, many times since then. We have to get out of our comfort zones.
Right. When we look at is it also a personality thing? I'm sure you go back to Sheffield and you've got friends there who's never left Sheffield, right?
Absolutely.
And there's you looking at a newspaper and saying, I want to go to Singapore.
Yeah.
You know, how many are they, you know, how many Shirley Taylors from Sheffield would there be who would take that opportunity?
I know. I wonder why I did. But obviously it was the right thing for me to do at the time. And it was a huge jumping out of my comfort zone. So, you know, the great thing about the comfort zone is when you get out of your comfort zone and then you do something new, you get more confidence and then you become a risk taker. So the next time you have that opportunity, you think, oh, wow, let me do it again. And you get out of your comfort zone, you do something new, you're fairly successful, and then you become an even bigger risk taker and you start taking more risks. You've got to get out your comfort zone.
Right.
And then it will result. Look at me. I'm writing a book, for my 13th book. Mm. Unbelievable.
So other than the 13th book, what else is Shirley Taylor up to?
Watch this space, darling. Watch this space. But it will be around the topic of my TED Talk, which is really about, like the topic title, Don't Be a Robot, Make a Human Difference. It's essential that we embrace technology as we change. Our world changes so much in the next decade or so. Goodness me, we've gone from manual typewriters to superpowered computers. Mm. You know, what I want to see more people doing is making a human difference. And I want to do that through my work, through my training, and through my speaking engagements. I want to see people making more of a human difference in the workplace today.
Shirley Taylor, a pleasure speaking to you. You've been listening to Raise Your Game on Enterprise. Frida Liu here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.